Hey, who am I again? Oh, I'm Ethan Van Sciver, and you're listening to Nerd Management Podcast.
Welcome to the Nerd Management Podcast, live from Studio Nerd B in the Swopes Plaza.
We are your conjoined host,
Alec Ward, and Warner Swopes.
Caveman.
Once again, we have our producers with us, Justin Richard Smith.
Oh, Richard!
And Chris Banna.
What chocolate?
And our new specialist, Tiffany Swopes. We have mystery guests in the room with us, too.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to talk about it.
Returning mystery guest. We'll just say he sounds a lot like me and we have the same bloodline.
Really? We could have just not even mentioned it. If he spoke at all, we would just be like, oh, this is Alec again.
Right.
Why did Alec keep talking over himself?
I don't know. Just talking across the room and comment.
Justin, can I short your name to just JRS? Would that be cool?
Jers.
Junior.
Jers.
Oh, no.
All right. We got a lot to cover tonight, as usual. We're going to start with the books of the week. And Alec, what was your pick of the week this week?
My pick of the week was Daredevil number 31, written by Mark Waid. It was so great.
So great, guys.
It was really
awesome.
It's really so
we
great.
Say that's awesome a lot. Like,
I know. Maybe
way
I'll
too
just,
much. Hey, that's awesome.
Maybe I'll just try to say so great from now on.
It's so great.
But, last issue was just the one issue spinoff with Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
So, this issue got back to the actual storyline with the Servants of the Servant, which is really, right, is Servants of the Serpent.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
It's hard to say three times fast. And then it gets back to, the whole storyline with Foggy and his cancer, and... Spoiler alert, but the ending page for that was an absolute mind blow.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a lot more in the moment of glory But one of the things I really liked about it was how, and it may get really dated eventually, but how timely it was with the whole, Trayvon Martin. He really reflected it in a really classy way of, the whole race war business, riots and things.
Like, you could tell he was clearly referencing that, but he did it in his own completely
different
way.
And in a way that you couldn't really tell where he sided on the situation,
exactly.
But definitely, a very clear, this is what's... this is how this group messed this whole thing up.
It's almost like he made both sides equally kind of bad. So he's like, hey, just kind of decide for yourself.
Yeah, don't riot is basically what
it
came down to. But, so I thought that was a pretty awesome thing that they did.
Yeah, I enjoyed the issue, and I always love Sam Neill's art. I think it's great.
Right.
It's perfect for Mark Waid's writing style. I absolutely love it. It's pretty gritty. But
That book just keeps getting better and better.
It absolutely does.
Well, good.
Go ahead.
So my book of the week is not going to be a surprise to anybody. But you know what? I'm not even going to call it Swamp Thing because
it's not.
Technically, it was the Villains Month issue, Arcane number 1.
Swamp Thing wasn't in it at all.
Right. And it was written by Charles Soule and art by Jesus Says. Jesus Saez. And he's a... one of my favorite Swamp Thing artists for sure on the book. Although Kano is probably my favorite of the artist team that works right now.
Yeah.
Jesus Says does a really good I don't know, his characterization is really cool.
Yeah.
And the book basically focuses on Anton Arcane and kind of retells the Patchwork Man story from the original Swamp Thing, which is one of my favorite characters. And so the way that they retold it here is instead of being Abby's father that Anton Arcane has Frankensteined together. It's like her adopted mother who he has rotted to the point where they had to replace parts of her body.
It was so
creepy.
Well, and that's the thing that I actually kind of tweeted to Charles Soule as well, is it was so creepy but so well done at the exact same time.
And when Arcane as a kid just is so intrigued by that dead rabbit that he just eats it.
I was like, what?
It was pretty awesome.
Well, at the very beginning, he rips the rabbit in half, and I'm like, this is a DC book.
Yeah.
Kids can pick this up if they want to, but I thought it was great. I loved it. Great.
But it really, I don't know. It in the end, you know, spoilers. It basically allows Arcane to come back from. He's been trapped in this, you know, prison for the Parliament of the Rot, and now this allows a way for him to come back. And
exactly.
It's pretty cool.
And that's and I love the fact that kind of shows you Arcane's going to be back. Like,
right.
Yeah,
right.
He will be back in Swamp Thing. So.
Yeah.
But so I had a meh book. What was your meh book?
Crap. I'm gonna go with Superior Spider-Man this week, but Superior Spider-Man kind of was a little bit of a dud, and I think it only is that way because I don't really know much about Spider-Man 2099.
It's getting better.
And it's
like,
such a big deal
in
this book right now.
Like I can start to kind of piece together everything,
right?
But I don't. Spider-Man 2099. He doesn't like. I'm not like. Oh, he's such a cool character. It's so great. I don't have any idea what he is, you know, or who he is, but
there's all kinds of distraction going on because everyone's talking in the room.
At least we're doing our job. Yeah.
We're doing our job of talking, and they're doing silent talking, which doesn't really show up on the podcast.
We're having more fun.
So anyway, tell us about your dud book, Alec.
Dud book for the week was Penguin number one, and. It wasn't because it was a bad issue, because I thought the art was really good. I really enjoyed that part. They made the Penguin almost seem kind of dumb. And when I think of the Penguin as a villain, I want him to be very smart but very ruthless and very much a businessman, just like Bruce Wayne is.
Yeah.
Like he's almost like the complete, like... He's almost the same guy, but a little bit...
Like the
know.
Dirty...
He's like Bruce
Wayne,
except for gross and as a penguin.
Exactly. And
except for the fat.
I was their number one, and they treated me like number two.
Danny DeVito, as a penguin, is one of the greatest portrayals of all time. I'm sorry. But anyway...
I thought that was a documentary.
Danny DeVito as himself in Batman Returns.
I watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia every week.
He's grosser in that than
he's
is
so
in the, as the baby.
I keep forgetting how small of a man he actually is.
Yeah, he is
super,
super
tiny. But anyway, so yeah, Danny DeVito number one. It was a little let down, I guess. But it was one of those that it actually. Kind of went back into Forever Evil, which I appreciated.
Villains Month has been pretty...
Yeah.
I mean,
it's been good.
Pretty good for the most part. And even, like, you know, we were talking about Arcane number one. Charles Soule had two other ones out. Lex Luthor number one and Black Hand number one, which were both really good.
Yeah.
Black Hand was awesome, and I really...
Darkness, everybody!
I could have two picks of the week because that would be my second.
You know what? It's your podcast. Put your name on it.
It's so it was so good because again, it's just like the Arcane one. It was just so creepy and like that character is so. I want to say like misunderstood.
Yeah.
And gross that it just I don't know. I really like Black Hand and Charles Soule writes that really well.
It's because Swamp Thing is misunderstood and stupid and gross, and so it appeals to your senses.
I like gross, stupid things? Is that what you're saying?
You really like Swamp Thing. I'm just a casual observer.
I do like Swamp Thing. I do like Swamp Thing. So let's talk about Moment of Glory. Right?
Yeah. Moment of Glory!
So we kind of touched on it at the end of Daredevil, and this is very big spoilers if you haven't read Daredevil as of late.
The voice is so soothing.
Yeah,
it's River Song, you do things to me. But honestly, even though she's an older woman, totally.
As Bandy starts to take his shirt off.
That's for our eyes.
Yes!
This guy, I've seen this man with a shirt off more than I've seen him with a shirt on. When we play music, he's always like first to get his shirt off.
Oh.
Like,
it's just ready to get sexy. I'm ready to get down.
Maybe that's how you open the show. Just like hit like a big E, and then just like
then
take
I'm
your
like,
shirt.
Watch your foot.
Anyway, Moment of Glory.
Yeah.
Moment of Glory.
Back to that.
So, for the past couple of issues, Foggy was diagnosed with cancer.
Right. Right.
And this whole time, between the main storyline right now that I said earlier, you know, the servants of the serpent, there's somebody behind them. That's hiring these guys, and you know, it's kind of infiltrating the court system or the justice system.
Right.
And we find out, you know, he kind of knows who it is, and he's trying. It's the Jester, and he's trying to reel Daredevil in. And he brings him to his apartment of this, you know, made-up character that he is, or that he's created. And Daredevil walks in, and of course he's, you know, spoiler alert, he's blind.
Spoilers!
But, and it what it looks like is Foggy hanging from the ceiling, like he has killed himself, of course, with a note attached to, like, the chair that's there. It says, Maddie. So, I don't think it's Foggy. I don't think they're going to kill his best friend.
Here's the reason I don't think it's Foggy is because they made such a big point of Foggy handing out those Daredevil shirts in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so, to me, I feel like him wearing that Daredevil shirt and being hung in, like, kind of silhouetted.
Yeah, like you can't see his face.
Yeah. I think it's going to be somebody else, but the Jester is trying to get that point across that he knows what's
right.
You know, where Foggy is and he could hurt him if he wanted
exactly.
to.
What makes you the authority, bro? Exactly. And it just, it's... And the whole issue up to that was actually pretty tame. Like, it wasn't, you know, I mean, tame as tame as you can make race riots. But,
yeah.
yeah. But, I mean...
It was handled well.
It was handled well. But just that last page, you know, I totally didn't see it coming. Absolutely had no clue it was going to happen.
Yeah, it was really out of nowhere. But yeah. I loved it. Like,
and it was one of those things that I, like, flipped back to the page before. Like, did I miss... an entire page where, like, he set this up, but it is kind of a morose sort of moment of glory, though it was still
right.
kind of a cool moment, but yeah.
One of your fans agrees with you. He said, good choice on the book of the week, Alec. I gotta catch up on this series.
Who's that fan, so I can...
Justin Wheeler.
Oh, yay, yay!
Shout out to Justin Wheeler, who keeps saying, I need to be on the podcast, and then somehow we never get him on here, but we do need to.
We will, Justin, don't worry.
Anyway, let's go ahead and get to our Getting to Know You segment, where we're going
to
talk about
Mr. Soule.
One of my favorite writers, Charles Soule, who we've talked about a lot already today.
Yeah, exactly. Can we call this Soule Fest?
This is Soule Fest.
Soule
but
Fest
Charles Soule is one of my favorite writers. So now we're talking. Now we're going to talk about my favorite comic book writer.
If you're just joining us,
my favorite comic book writer of right now, and that's Charles Soule, who keeps himself real busy. So what you need to know about Charles Soule, just a little couple of tidbits. Like our Getting to Know You segment is basically going to be a comic creator.
Yeah.
And then we're going to tell you something about them that may or may not have to do with comics, but probably you didn't know.
Yeah.
So first thing, Charles Soule is a practicing attorney. In New York City. Like, on the side.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing like, attorney, I guess.
The same thing as, like, we did with Jeff Johns last week.
Where he was going to write comics on the side. I think that's kind of the similar situation.
I keep
situation.
Telling you, just do things on the side, and
that's,
you're
then that's, like, what...
Just really...
I hope so, because this podcast is so on the side. It's the most on-the-side thing I do.
Yeah.
but he also... He plays guitar and sings in a band, too, which
really?
Is near and dear to my heart, as I like to play music in
maybe
a band as well.
Maybe we should get him to sing a theme song for us, just like... Nerd Management over and over again.
Then the last little tidbit, and this is about comic books actually, but it's pretty interesting that he started writing comics in 2009 with the series 27 for Image, which is a great book. You guys should all read 27.
Yeah.
Well, actually, 27 wasn't his first thing. Strong Man was, but that's really hard to get a hold of.
Hmm.
So I haven't even read it yet, and I'm a huge Charles Soule fan. Hmm. But he started with Strongman and then 27. And then now he has 5 ongoing titles.
So let's make so Swamp Thing, Red Lantern.
Yes. Superman, Wonder Woman, which hasn't started yet, but it will be very shortly.
Thunderbolts,
and Letter 44.
Mm.
He's got all of those going right now and somehow maintains like a level of excellence in all those books that. Normally, people can juggle about 3, maybe 4 books before they start to their books start to all read the same. All of his stuff is different, and somehow he manages to pull it off.
Kind of a side note, by the way. I don't know if he wrote the Thunderbolts tie-in to Infinity, But going back to kind of the books of the week, they actually, usually tie-ins, they genuinely have nothing to do with the series. Well, like at the end of this issue of Infinity, they actually kind of reference the Thunderbolts tie-in a little bit.
That's
so
awesome.
But, you know, just a little bit.
I think he actually did write that.
Did he? Okay.
Probably. But a little side note, this really isn't a point about him that you need to know or whatever, but he's actually probably... Just a personal note for me, he's probably the most down-to-earth comic book creator that I've talked to. Like, I've been to a dozen cons.
He's very nice.
He is. He's really nice. Like, and he, like, when I first started writing for Fanboy Factor, I emailed Charles Soule and asked him if I could do an interview with him at C2E2.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, we could probably make something work. And I, you know, I thought, well, that's nice of him to say, but we'll see if it actually happens. And I went and I found him at the booth that he was signing at, had him sign some Swamp Thing stuff.
The kissing booth.
Signed some other stuff. And then I was like, and also I'm Warner, by the way. And he's like, oh, yeah, the guy that was going to do the interview. Like, he remembered me from just emailing him.
That's awesome.
And was super nice, did the interview. It's all on Fanboy Factor. And just was a really nice guy. And the whole con, like, anytime I bumped into him, he'd, like, be nice and say something.
And every time that I always say something to him on Twitter, like, he usually either responds or retweets or something. So, you know, it's nice to see that he's actually...
And one thing that he said to me at that con, it was C2E2 last year, and I said, thanks so much for emailing me back and actually doing this interview. And he goes, when I get too big to email people back, then it's not even fun anymore.
Sure.
And, like, that's so cool because... And I understand, like, some people, they can't retweet everything that ever anyone tweets to them. But he does a really good job of actually responding on social media, and that's cool. Like, nobody else, there's not a lot of people that still can do that and be, like, such a big name in comics.
Well, and kind of going back to last week's episode, but, you know, I tweeted to Jeff Johns twice, and both times he actually favored it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nice to see that even Jeff Johns, as big as he is, still does that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it goes back to Charles Soule, but,
yeah,
you know. But you know, that's Charles Soule for you in a nutshell.
There we go.
So we're gonna take it over to Taffy Tiffany Swopes for our news segment.
Receiving transmission from David Barrett, Nipple Antenna.
All right. So top three in your news today. Will be number one. Grand Theft Auto number 5 grossed over $800 million on its release day, which breaks entertainment sales records for most units sold. News number 2, to keep you updated on the most recent news from a galaxy far, far away, Star Wars Episode 7 will film in Las Cruces, New Mexico, according to the Latino Review.
Which is actually in our galaxy.
It is in our galaxy. Irony. Okay. Number 3. Sadly, Hiroshi Yamauchi, longtime Nintendo president, died today at the ripe age of 85, and he will be greatly missed.
I'm trying not to laugh. Let's go through the news, Alec. So, Grand Theft Auto 5,
my
right?
My stomach hurts.
vomit all over the place.
Internet. Anyway. So... Anyway, we'll talk about Grand Theft Auto 5 first, because I think I'm actually the only person here that's played it yet.
I wanted to play it last night, but I got tired when we
and
had our internet meeting.
Feel free to chime in if you'd like. But
It's a video game.
It is a video game.
Thank you, Alec.
It's personally, for me, it's one of the best video games I've ever played. It's one of the most polished, one of the most... It feels like such an alive sort of... universe. Does that...
Well, clearly that's not just his opinion, because $800 million says otherwise.
By the way, which makes up for everything that they spent to make it.
Right, it's got to be expensive.
And then more, it was what, like, I think $80 million to make it? Maybe less than that.
They made all their money back just on the pre-orders alone.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So,
I really should play that game. I really should play a Grand Theft Auto.
You should. It's it's one of the only games that I can just say is pretty much flawless. Like, it's absolutely fantastic.
Now, let's do like a little personal introspection here.
Okay. Oh yes.
Now,
for me personally, or for the game?
Well, it's all for you.
Because
if it's
personal,
it is a great look. GTAs are always a blast.
Yes.
But I think it says a lot about maybe where your brain is. If you're like, to me, this is a perfect flawless game. I can do all the things I want. I can go bang hookers. I can go shoot people. I can go eat. And I can go jump monster trucks.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. And unfortunately...
And I like doing those things.
Because you're absolutely right.
Right.
Unfortunately, right. Grand Theft Auto gets a rap that that's what you do in the game.
The storyline's great.
Yeah. Personally, I have never banged a hooker. I have killed a bunch of people in it because that's what you do. But I've never banged a hooker and then killed her. And
just shows how realistic this game is. I don't know if you're talking about the game anymore.
Right.
Like, I'm really confused.
Come on, kill me!
I really don't know what's going on.
I'll let you figure
but
that out.
But anyway, what is there that we could say about Star Wars 7 filming in New Mexico?
It means it's being made.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's that. But this is the only news we've really gotten about Star Wars. Like,
I'm just saying,
where's my Yoda movie?
This is it.
Tatooine.
I would say there's probably a lot of desert planets.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
And that's everyone's favorite part.
The two suns.
Yeah. The sand and the one house.
I will say, though, in A New Hope, when Luke is looking up at the two suns and it's got the, you know, John Williams score in the background, I get a...
I have to say, anytime that...
A little
nooner. Like, anytime you have one of those weird mornings where, like, the sun's just coming up and the moon is still out, but it's daytime, I always hear that music in my head. Like,
that's actually
like,
really awesome.
Yeah, it's just, like, a great moment for me. I really wish that happened more often.
This bores me.
Anyway, back to news.
Yeah.
The president of Nintendo dying was a pretty bummer.
And, well, it's a huge bummer and because, unfortunately, he's one of those guys that I don't think most people are going to know who he is because he's not Yamamoto, who obviously made Mario and Zelda and all that. But he was a president for Nintendo from 1949 to 2009, which...
I don't know if you guys know this, but mathematically speaking, that's a long time.
That's a long friggin' time. Well, and I didn't know this, actually, but Nintendo's been around for, like, a century. Like,
as like a card game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it started off as a card
centuries.
Game.
Centuries.
Well, it's been around centuries. For, like, 100 years.
Many moons.
Many moons. Look it up. Can you play Put Your Name On It?
Put Your Name On
It. It's over 100 years old. I'll tell you that much right now. I know that.
Yes.
I know that for sure.
Okay. All right,
it's
so,
not centuries, but anyway, he basically was president when they took it from making being a card game to what we know Nintendo to be right now. So,
Pokemon and Mario's,
Pokemans and the Mega Mans and the. But yeah, I mean,
and your brothers of Smash.
So
and that. Business.
Yeah. But now he's incredibly influential in video games nowadays.
I believe he was influential.
But I mean,
that's when you play.
It's always the Jeopardy music.
The theme song from CSI Miami.
It's always sad to hear something like that.
It's a huge
But he did live a full life of like being president of a super awesome company. And he was 85.
85.
Pretty good life.
One, I think he died of pneumonia.
Come on, kill me!
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
I just know a guy that never grew up, right? Like,
yeah, no kidding. At 85 years old, he still was loving Nintendo.
One, he passed away of pneumonia, which...
That sucks.
Yeah. But when you're that old, I mean...
Right,
kinda,
you're all brittle. Like,
yeah.
It's either hip or pneumonia. Pick one.
Whoopsie, time to run. There's still one on
our topic today. Would you like to introduce the topic, Mr.
Sure.
Al, my better half.
Your better looking conjoined half.
I'm your better half, and she's your half. I mean, just the
farm candy.
And soundboards are on fire tonight, guys.
I wish they were on fire, like literally on fire, like
just
on fire.
Burning.
I wish I would put gasoline on those soundboards.
But,
Alright, I'm done.
So.
They have to fill the time with something. You guys need.
You're right.
We're working on it.
So, this week's topic that we're going to talk about are crowning nerd achievements, or geek achievements, if you want to say. And basically, what that means is you know, the moment, for me personally, the moment when you were like, yeah, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what makes me a geek or a nerd. And just your proudest moment overall. My glasses. My glasses. What was that?
Just keep going.
Warner, what is your crowning?
See, this is tough. You shouldn't have started with me because I have a bunch. Go to someone else. Go to someone else. Just do it.
Okay.
Oh, it's like we're at a restaurant.
Chris. No, I have a lot to say about this.
Chris, what was your crowning achievement?
I mean, I'll give one. I feel like if you have one crowning achievement, it's one. That's four.
It's tough, though, because I have ties.
He's looking for a sound. He's like,
this is a video cast. I can make whatever face I want. I can be naked for all anybody knows.
You are. Anyways, mine was, I think the first real shining moment was when I was 14 and I was very into Tekken and all things Tekken, and still am into Tekken. And I went to a Tekken 3 tournament at Circle Center, and there's about 45 people there, and me and Taiga, which is Eddie Gordo's like other, you know, sidekick, pretty much just stomped face, and I won that tournament, and I felt like the coolest person amongst those 45 people, because the other 43 or 44 of them, I was kind of like embarrassed to be there, but I stomped face, and I felt like $1 million.
I have two questions.
Absolutely.
And these are not demeaning at all. What year was it?
I was I'm 14. All the way now. 26?
I don't know.
You look like Justin.
No. So it's 12 years from...
So it's 2000, pretty much, 2001?
Yeah. I was a freshman in high school.
Did you get a prize for it?
I got $50 to GameWorks.
Oh, wow.
That's actually...
That dates it even more, I think.
Because it's now... as Tilt Studios now.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is much cooler, trust me.
It's the same thing, which I'm fine with, because I just go there and I play video games, and then I go crush a Cinnabon afterwards.
Or at the same time.
Tilt Studio, whatever you just said, isn't that where we went, like, the first time you and I met, and we wanted to get the
other date?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Did you guys make out?
We didn't. Totally.
But they didn't invite you.
Come on, guys.
So anyway, Tiffany, what's yours? I know you got a good one.
I have a couple. There's actually two.
See? You're already breaking the rules.
Because I can't decide.
I wasn't a follower.
The first one was I played Mario, all Super Mario Brothers, all the time when I was in... like, just growing up. We had a Super Nintendo. That's just what I played. I played Donkey Kong, Aladdin, and Super Mario Brothers. And to beat those was meh. It was a game to see how many lives I could keep the entire time. But after Warner and I got married, we bought a PlayStation 2. Now, there's way too many freaking buttons on that thing for me. I'm used to my Mario controller. And I bought...
A, B, C, and D.
So many.
And Zed.
So many. Anyway, I bought Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so hard for me and so fun. I mean, literally, Ursula killed me 1,000,000 times. It took me 2 weeks to beat her. But when I finally beat that game, I was like, victory is mine. I can beat something other than a Mario game.
Are you guys
this is so exciting.
Have you played any of the other Kingdom Hearts?
I have played Kingdom Hearts 2, but I haven't played anything on DS because it's just...
Well, because you know they're coming out with... Terrible. Yeah. You know they're coming out with Kingdom Hearts 3, yeah.
Are they actually,
4?
Or is it just...
Well, okay, so the guy...
Who's PlayStation 4 so I can convince Tiffany to buy me a PlayStation
4? PlayStation 4. But the guy who directs it also directs Final Fantasy 15. Mm-hmm. And to do both of those at the exact same time is going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So they don't know which one's coming
first.
So we
have time to save up for PlayStation 4. Exactly. Anyway, my other moment of glory was... or moment of glory, whatever you want to call it, was when Warner took me to Comic Cons. Up in Chicago, I didn't know what to expect, but the one thing that really, really got me excited was the fact that I actually got to meet some of the characters in the shows that I watched. I got to meet Sam from True Blood. I got to meet Shane from Walking Dead, Andrea from Walking Dead,
some of
the Game of Thrones characters. And it was like, oh my gosh, I get to ask you and tell you how cool you are in TV.
Yeah,
sometimes
they were jerks. Crazy person with the kid.
But sometimes they were jerks, but it was still really cool.
Except, did get
I don't think any of them were really jerks. There's some of them, like, clearly were busy and didn't like want to take the time.
Except PR Warner,
which is being a jerk.
Andrea
anyway.
Did take a picture with your son, which is awesome.
Andrea did take a picture with you. What do you guys say to a superhero? Sorry, a celebrity. No, you cannot touch my child.
And she's killed.
There are some celebrities I've probably seen.
What I would say to her is, how long does it take to pick up a file with your toes?
That's a walk.
That's a little deep for someone who hasn't seen it yet. They wouldn't even know what you're talking
that was
about.
A few months ago. So.
Yeah.
Drew, do you have a crowning nerd energy, man? No. Cool.
I don't know. I can pick it for him. It was probably last week when he went to his first con. And you should have seen his face. He was
our
giddy
faces.
Little
Let's be fair.
Boy.
He's not really like that.
You were.
I tried to keep my composure.
I know you kept your composure, but I could see
you were skipping.
You.
I know that
you
my
were
face.
So excited
when you pointed out the Humberto Ramos variant of Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, right. Humberto Ramos. I know my face
well
was like
you lost.
Oh,
like you were shaking.
You were super excited about that Thor variant that you finally got.
That's true.
Yes.
You were so excited. I think that was more of a really a lot more important to you than.
I've already hung it up on my wall.
See?
Yep.
See. Thor variant.
Speaking of which, I'm gonna buy that Swamp Thing print from you that you bought off of Alec. You jerk.
I've already hung that up.
Jerk
too.
Bait.
Wow.
It's not in that frame though. So you're already. It's still up there.
Anyway,
but my
you go first. I was gonna give it to Justin, but you go first, and then Justin. Then
no, you know
me,
what? You know what? JRS. You know
actually,
what
we should close it out because we are
you should,
the joint host.
Not anywhere.
Justin, all right. We'll see. You.
Well, do you remember the very first computer animated show?
Reboot?
Yes.
Oh, Reboot rules!
Yeah. Oh,
Reboot was just
that,
Tron, but not.
You hold your tongue.
That in general. Is like my shining moment because I had the video game for the PlayStation.
I remember what? Okay,
which was hard.
You're
bringing back all these feels.
Okay,
Reboot had this cool the last season had this cool like time travel element to
it.
Okay. That just got crazy.
Was the villain's name Megabyte or like
Megabyte? Then you got Hexadecimal that combined together to give Gigabyte. I might have watched these last night. I'm not going to tell you.
I remember I had the action figure of Megabyte.
Yeah.
And I thought I was like the cool. Drew, which one did
I
you
had the
have?
Main guy with the skateboard.
What yeah. The kid.
Yeah.
Reboot.
It was epic, man.
Oh, it was so
good. Enzo Matrix was the little kid.
Oh, my goodness. Dot Matrix.
Bob but
the
then later.
Everything's computer based except Bob the Guardian.
Hey, well, to be fair, it was a cartoon. I mean,
no, it wasn't.
That was real life.
This is a computer generated, animated show.
Well, what did you say the kid's
coloring
name was? Because
I thought it was
Enzo Matrix.
Enzo Matrix. Because my favorite.
Did he start a pizza chain here in Indiana?
Yes, I mean, it's really just
Enzo Matrix Pizza.
Enzo
no,
Matrix pizza.
My favorite moment from that show is when Enzo in the future just starts calling himself Matrix, and he's like that BA, like gun toting. Like tough guy, and then he comes back to the past and like saves.
So he was all cable.
Whatever that
mainframe.
Yeah, you
don't.
I
don't
swear to God, I just thought of this like 2 minutes ago, and all is just rushing.
So he pulls like a whole cable like sort of thing.
Dude, it got really awesome at the end. You're just like, what is going on?
Does he have a scratch over his eye? And, like,
yeah,
he had something.
Dude, that's totally
did he have a
like,
scar?
Yeah,
totally he had the scratch and he had a gun.
Like tattoos.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was like some sort
probably
of
probably smoked cigarettes.
Oh yeah, the virus, which actually is exactly from Cable. Like,
yeah,
Cable had the mutant virus, and that's why he has the robot.
What was the virus, though? Not that it matters.
Did he smoke cloves? Like he probably smokes cloves.
No, but he had a gun that I had a Nerf gun that looked a lot like.
Yeah,
it, and I ran around like pretending I was Matrix last week.
Did you guys think we were going to talk about Reboot?
I never would have guessed.
Hey, yeah.
So
mine's not nearly going to be as cool as Reboot was.
Really?
But
I thought mine was the stinker of the
No, I think that one wins.
Not at all. But one of the things was last week for the con, but since, you know, that's also my brother's, I don't want to do the same thing. But
the guy who said five words all night?
Yeah, right. The first time that I went to...
That's my joke. Can't reinforce that behavior.
So sorry. The first time that I actually went to a convention, it was actually a gaming convention called Gen Con. And I had just started watching Doctor Who for the first time. I didn't know anybody else that watched it. He wouldn't watch it with me. He'd always make fun of me for watching it. And I got there, and they actually had a TARDIS, like they did at Cincy last weekend. But it was the first time that I actually was with people that I could actually talk about,
right.
You know. And I was like, oh, other people know what this is.
Weasley, wobbly, timey, wimey.
Exactly. And it was the coolest thing. The other time was when the Avengers first came out, AMC, for my birthday, actually, he took me to see just all of Phase 1 and then the Avengers at midnight. So it was an all-day movie marathon of all of the Avengers movies. And to be in a theater full of nerds who were there to see the exact same thing you are and are just as excited about it, it was such a cool moment. And that's when I knew, like, okay, this is...
That was a very long and really good
15
day.
Hours,
yeah.
No big deal.
I always wondered about, because I wanted to do those things, do they still do, like, the free refills on the popcorn?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Really?
And they give you intermissions, usually, between each one.
They give you, like, 15 minutes,
yeah,
but otherwise still, there's going to be messy seats. Like,
well... And I'll just warn you now.
There will be messy seats.
There will be messy seats, and people are kind of stinky.
Really?
Well, okay. In their defense. In their defense. I already know where this is going.
Everyone just needs to be honest with themselves.
Okay.
If you're sitting in one seat for 15 hours, your butt cheese is just going to run
off
the mountain.
I won't ever say that I didn't have a little bit of...
Dude, I wish that in the DC universe, how they've got the green that represents like plant life, and they've got the red that represents the animal life, and then they've got the rot that represents decay. I wish they had a butt cheese that represented just like stinkiness. Someone get on that. Someone at DC write that.
Do you think,
like, the butt cheese?
Do you think Clayface ever gets mud butt?
Only one girl sitting in this room.
Hey, Katrina counts.
All right.
She was humping a pillow.
She was more barbaric than any of us.
I'll take this. It's mine. She put her name.
I have two, like, really, really awesome moments of where I, like, met two different people. And one was when I met...
Your wife.
The,
I was going to say.
This is kind of a long story, but when I met... Swamp Thing creator Lin Wein, he, like, was really nice, and he signed my first appearance of Swamp Thing that I already had signed by Bernie Wrightson, so I was like, that's my Holy Grail book right there. And then, then after that, he, like, signed a bunch of books for me. It was super nice, and I was like, and now this is going to sound weird, but I have a Swamp Thing tattoo, and I'd really like for you to sign it, and then I'm going to go get it tattooed over there at the tattoo place. And he was like, wait, you want me to sign your arm? And I was like, yeah. He goes... you kids these days. But he signed my arm. And then he goes, you know what? I'm okay with it, but the only problem I have is in 30 years from now, you're going to look down your arm and go, why do I have another man's name on my arm? And he just was really funny and really nice about it. Well, then the next year, which was the year when Charles Soule was there and I did the interview with him, I went to a DC panel that both Charles Soule and Lin Wein were on. I was like, okay, cool. The current Swamp Thing writer and the original Swamp Thing writer on the same panel.
At that point.
He had just started. His first issue was out. The second C2E2 I went to, his first issue was out. I'll put my name on it. Anyway.
There's no way.
He just called you out.
Yeah.
I was there.
His first issue was out. I promise. It's on the wall signed by him from C2E2 last year. Anyway, both of them were there at this DC panel, and... Both of them recognize me because I'm just such a Swamp Thing geek.
You're the only one on the planet.
They're like looking at me, and I ask a Swamp Thing question, and nobody answers anything yet. And then Lin Wein goes, "This guy pays my paychecks with his arm." And I like lift up and show everybody the tattoo, and everybody's laughing and having a good time. And he's like, "No, seriously, can you come with me to the restaurant and the hotel and show them your arm so I can get free dinner?"
Did you cry?
It was a pretty great moment. But, like, it was just cool that those two guys recognized me as, like, this huge Swamp Thing fan. And just, it was important to me because that's the guy who created Swamp Thing.
Can I ask a personal question? How was it meeting Bernie Wrightson at...
Shut up.
Cincinnati.
Mr. Wrightson was ill, couldn't attend the Cincinnati Comic Con, made me a little sad. It's fine. I'll meet him someday, I promise.
Maybe.
I've promised myself.
Maybe.
Anyway, then the other moment kind of goes back to your Doctor Who thing.
Yeah.
My doctor is the fifth Doctor. Peter Davison, and he was at C2E2 last year as well. C2E2 last year was pretty awesome for me.
I was going to say, I have to go to C2E2 this year, because next year, I guess.
I got to meet him, and he did like a signing thing, and that was cool, and he was really nice, and we got to talk for a little bit, and that was fun. But then the next day, I was going to do this photo op thing, and I got to get my picture taken with him, and he had done this episode with David Tennant, like a little webisode called Time Crash, where the two doctors teamed up, and the promo poster for that is the two of them with their backs against each other and their arms crossed. And I was like, I know everyone's just doing like a next to you picture, but can we do the Time Crash poster? And he goes, which one was that? Show me again. And so I just like pulled it up on my phone and he goes, oh yeah, that's easy enough. And so we did the Time Crash pose.
That's pretty
me
awesome.
And Peter Davison are just hanging up on my wall. And that was like,
wondering what that was.
Yeah. It's super awesome because like it's a great moment for me because he's like my favorite doctor. Yeah. And
do you have a Peter Davison impression?
I don't. I'm really bad at British impressions.
Dynasty. I know
he says
dynasty.
He does say dynasty.
Dynasty.
I've been watching a lot of Broadchurch lately, speaking of David Tennant.
Sure.
He's in that, and there was this guy who, like, they thought was a pedophile, and I love that British people say pedophile.
Yes,
it's so funny. It's, they make that horrible, disgusting word just sound hilarious.
Yeah. I'm giggling at a horrible thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about any comic book stuff, just buy comics from Comic Book University, either online or if you're in Indianapolis area, you can go there.
Absolutely.
Or even if you're not, I mean, just drive however long it takes, because it's worth
it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to read anything else that we've written, we both write reviews for fanboyfactor.com. That's all. And Tiffany does as well. I'm so sorry.
Taffy.
You did, Taffy does. Didn't you do a
Star Trek one? She wrote just a phenomenal King Conan review that just was everyone raved about.
Domosaurus.
Yeah, people really loved that.
I really don't read that one, but read my Star Wars. My Star Trek review. That was a good review.
Okay. Was it of the 2009 or was it
Darkness?
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, you can like us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter at Nerd Management.
Yep.
NerdMGMT.
Please like and share on Facebook. Once we hit 100. Share or likes on Facebook, we're going to do a special edition episode where it talks about us as kids.
And it's probably going to run super long because we're not going to time ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
So probably
we have 83 right now. 17 of you must like.
It'll be probably like 5 hours long, maybe.
Yeah.
We don't know.
That's what we're shooting for, is 5 hours.
Tune in next week on Thursday. Follow us on our Facebook and Twitter. That way you can be part of our chatting time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're going to be launching a website here very shortly.
Very shortly.
Don't want to spoil anything for you, but it is probably going to have a chat, direct chat segment. So while we're recording, you can actually directly chat with Tiffany and she can keep you posted on that stuff. So.
Exactly.
Then you get to be on the podcast.
Yeah, basically you're on the podcast. But anyway, that's all we've got for you today. Alec Ward, do you have anything else for us?
Always spay and neuter your pets.
Yes. There you go. That's a good closeout. We're just going to leave it at that. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye, guys.